It's good to see you. I actually feel very small in your presence as I look at you, a good creation of God, handsome and beautiful. I can hear you. You are handsome and beautiful. Great. So if you don't appreciate yourself, please know you are appreciated. And if you can tell me, I know I'm handsome. Okay, that's good, that's good. And so this morning, quickly, without us wasting much of our time, I just want to begin by telling you that I'm going to share a subject that is very close to my heart. And because of my nature, my background, I love to talk about such things. I love to talk about things to do with discipline, to do with passion, to do with commitment, and because I don't know how to do multitasks. So if I'm welding, I want to weld. Don't give me another task until I finish to weld. But some of you are blessed to do many things. And so, quickly, I'm going to, I think my mic is still giving us a bit of challenge, but I'm going to talk about the race of faith. Already probably you are catching the fire from there. And so I'll begin by telling you that my desire at the end of this this message is to see you encouraged. Come up, come out from where you are. If you've been running at 20 kilometers per hour, I want you to be running at 30 kilometers per hour. If you've been running at 5 kilometers per hour, and you know maybe you are tired a little bit, I want you to move twice, maybe to 15 kilometers per hour. This is my desire, all right? Because I realize there are many things that can cause us not to run well. And I want us out of this to know how we can run this race, things that can help us to run well, things we need to hold on to, and things we need just to throw away. Because we are in the race. And to help us to understand this subject, I want us to begin by reading Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 to 4, because this is going to be like our main text this morning, just to encourage us. I'm using the NIV. This is what the Bible says. So verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." So I know that some of us could have already lost our zeal in our Christian life. Some of us are murmuring, we are like, what is happening in my life? Others are wondering whether it is worthy to be a believer. And because we know what is going on in the world, others are already confronted and bombarded by many theories talking about whether Christianity is real. And we've brought in a lot of things. You are going through a lot of things, you know, wondering, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Am I worshiping the real Jesus? The real God? Am I being helped to worship this God? And others are even wondering where they are, whether their identity is actually true or not. And I think I want us to be encouraged. And I'll repeat that because this is the main thing. I want us to be encouraged that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the right place. That is the first thing, and you are doing the right thing. Now, the Christian life is described as a race. Even before we get to the text that we have. And it is a race. It's not a sprint. It is like a marathon. This morning I was just catching up with my brother, Brother Jonah. Today I'm talking very good things about him, so don't worry. I got permission from him and I asked him, you guys that are involved in running, you know, long distances, what does it take for you to do that? And he talked about you need to be focused. You need to be determined. But he also talked about you need people that should encourage you. So don't train alone. Don't do things, you know, you need people to encourage you around. You need discipline. And one thing that he also mentioned was you actually need a coach and probably coaches. And wow, this opened my mind when I thought about the writer of Hebrews talking about us being in a race. And Paul also saying the same. And so this is what it actually calls for a person who is in a race. And today I want to especially focus on that, the fact that we are on a race and we are assured to win. You know, the races here on earth, of course, they are very competitive. There's no assurance of winning for various reasons. But I think this race of Christian faith, for those that are on the right track, it doesn't matter where you are at the moment. If you are there, you are doing the right thing, you are focused on the right person, you are assured to actually win.
Yes.
So say, I will win. And this is the beautiful thing. But however, before we win, of course, we'll look at a number of things. Now, when I was young, I mean, I was very adventurous. So in my junior class, in the junior secondary school, I saw guys running and I also enlisted for what was called cross country at that time. And I had two motivations. Was number one, to actually win the prize and have everything that comes with it, the fame and the cash. You're getting the point. But the other one, of course, I wanted to please the teachers, you know, so that was my motivation. But unfortunately, I must tell you that for various reasons, I didn't make it. I didn't even win the prize. I've never won the prize in running. Others have. But the reality is, it hurt me. I would have loved to win. But what I didn't learn at the beginning was a race is not easy. And those are things I needed to learn. A race is not easy. When they talk about a race, it simply means it's not easy. And if our Christian faith, our Christian life is likened to a race, it simply means it's not easy. And a race is not a run that you are going to run. It's not 100 meters. Where you're going just to sprint and end there. It's a long one. You run for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. In some cases. And it takes a lot of things. So a race is not easy. So can I tell you, as Christians, on this journey, it's not going to be easy always. Or let us put it, it's not going to be easy. The only reason why we should feel comforted is because we don't run this race alone. And in our running, we don't depend on our energy, our strength. We depend on the one that carries us on his wings. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the other thing that I needed to learn, though, that even though this race is not easy, it is actually achievable. How? Because when I looked around, I knew there were people that won it, people that got the prizes. And so if our Christian faith is also likened to that, we are saying that, you know, our race is achievable. Why? Because We have who people that have run this race and they have accomplished it. And for those of you who have read, probably I'll read that passage later on as I talk about the same issue. You know the famous words of Paul. You know, he's saying, now, my life is being poured out like a drink. I have run the race. And whatever words there, I don't want to lie. But he's talking, to paraphrase it, he's talking about now, I have finished the race. Beyond this awaits for me a reward. Right. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's a reward for those that run well. Beyond salvation, there's also a reward added to that. And you must be motivated, not just to be saved, but also to run well so that that day, the Lord will not only say, welcome, my daughter, my son, but he will also say, well done. Here is the prize. I don't know how it's going to be there, but probably there'll be jubilation. Yes. But the only good thing in that place is there'll be nothing like, you see me, I've gotten a better one. There'll be no time for that. You can do that here on earth, I know. But there, you get your prize, you rejoice. After all, you realize this is by the grace of God. And so I want to encourage younger people. I mean, this just came as I was preparing. I just want to encourage young people when we're looking at this. I'm not going to play that clip. But if you can, younger people here, because I'm concerned about you, and I want to carry you on this subject. If you are able, there's a movie called Overcomer. Just watch it and learn some of the concepts there. And parents, if you can, just encourage them. And for you who are in the evenings like me, you know we are older people, please just go and watch Pilgrim's Progress. Go and watch Pilgrim's Progress. It's a wonderful movie for older people. But anyway, even Overcomer. But it's a good thing. And so, look at those movies and just begin to relate to your life, because there are a lot of things that you can learn from there. But as we look at this passage, I want us to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, just to go into the mind of the author, the writer of this book. And especially looking at chapter 12, verse 1 to 14. Why did this gentleman write this? You know, when we go to verse 1, we realize that as he begins the verse, he says, therefore. And therefore indicates to us that there must be some thoughts, there must be some discussion prior to this that was going on. And so when the guy is saying, therefore, he's saying, because of, you must do this. You're getting the point? So he has built his case. He has explained whatever he was explaining. And then he says, look, because of this, you must. Of course, the thereafter, he explains what we must do. Now, before this chapter is chapter 11. And for most of you who may be familiar with memory verses and all that, chapter 11 is called the chapter of faith. This is where we see the heroes of faith. Men and women that gave their lives, their possessions, they gave up everything that they had and they risked their lives because of the love of God and because they understood God, because God had given them a picture beyond the now. And we have a long list of men like Moses. We have a long list that indicates to us Moses. We have the mother of Moses. We have people like, I think we have Elijah in that story. We have a number of people. I don't want to go into the list and talk about them in details. But all we see here is the author is saying, look at this man. And if we look at the history of those men, we'll see the things that they gave up. I mean, Moses, literally, there's a verse which says, you know, he gave up the joy, the eating of good food in the palace for the sake of the Hebrews. He chose to suffer pain and ridicule with the slaves because of what God had revealed in his man. And so, it is like Hebrews chapter 11 is giving us a picture of men and women who are actually in the stadium, and they are watching some of us that are still alive, and they are cheering. And they are giving us support. You know, when you are running, you know, you are running on the track there, you also need some support. Just like, you know, Liverpool fans, if they don't have those guys that are singing, they don't do well. And so that's why Liverpool guys, they always put on shirts and all that. I don't know what is the mystery behind there. Just stop buying their t-shirts, they will lose. But you see, this, when you look at this, you know, what the author is saying, look at all these men. They are there. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so many witnesses, let us. So these guys are there. They are there to show us that this race is achievable. They are there to show us that it's not going to be easy, but you will reach there. And they also indicate to us, if we have to read their biographies, they indicate to us how they managed to run and achieve the goal and reach the goal, reach the end, even though it was so hard. Moses, how did you make it? Maybe we can ask guys later on in the New Testament, Paul, how did you make it? Peter, how did you make it to a point where you said, I don't want people to crucify me like Jesus Christ? Would you crucify me upside down? I don't know whether you knew that. This guy said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my master. How did you do it, Peter? Again, when we look at these things, these guys, we can learn something. Where did they get the passion? Where did they get the strength? Where did they get the wisdom, the knowledge, and the things that helped them to keep on the track? I mean, recently, some of you, I don't know whether are already there. You know, there's a guy that was shot just recently in America. Young people, gun culture. Oh, there's a guy called Charlie Kirk. And Kirk sounds like an Afrikaans word. But this guy, because of his faith, and I'm just showing you, there are men that have been there. I don't know much about him, but of course this came out. I mean, but because of the things that he was talking about, because he talked about Jesus Christ, he was against some of these activities, LGBT plus everything. He said, no, these are not good for you young people. And because of this, he lost his life. The race is not easy. And there will be these things. And so the author in chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, is telling us things that the participants in this race, you and me that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, are by default in the race. You can't say, no, I'm a believer, but I'm not in the race. It's too late. You are in the race. And these verses were written for them that time because they were being encouraged. The Hebrew Christians were struggling with a lot of persecution, a lot of, you know, abuse from the Jews, apparently, Judaizers. They were thrown out of homes. They were called names. Others actually were sweared by their parents, and they said, I don't want to see you. You are no longer my child. Some people lost their families, and the writer was encouraging them. And he says in verse 1 to 12 what they must do as they are running. Now that it takes me to John. So John is my reference today. When he talked about discipline and coaches and all that and the things you need to do, he talked about focus. You need to be focused, train well, learn and be in the group and be encouraged. And this guy is talking about what you must do when you are on the race. This is very spiritual. And guys, some of us in our Christian life, we find it so difficult, so complicated. We are discouraged. We are wondering why we are where we are. Why even when we are running, we feel like we are running in the mud and in the sand, we are going nowhere. Probably we need to understand this. And the, and verse 1 to 4 is telling us a few things. And it mentions, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Throw off these things. It simply means you need to identify when you are running some of the things that you might be carrying and doing can hinder your run. They can complicate your life. And he says, run with perseverance. And so, can you learn to endure? Can you learn to persevere? This race does not need men and women who go, I can't go on further. It's too much. And you sit down. No. You know those people who throw tantrums as if, before in this race, there's no one. You're going, I've stopped. No, there's no one. You sign in, you go in. I'm not sounding like a believer now, isn't it? It's like this guy now, where is he taking us? Now we're talking like soldiers of Christ. Radical movements. Radically changed and wanting to do the things that God is telling us to do. And these guys, when they made a decision, they knew what it cost them. But they didn't care. And this is what Christianity is all about. And then he says, this is what you should do. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Endure hardship. Don't give up. And when you look at this list, I'm not going to go into the details. You are going to expand it in your community groups. But when I look at this list, just quickly, just a glance, it doesn't sound like some of those popular teachings that we have in the world today. Come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be well, and God shall give you everything that you need. You are not the tail but the head, and so you shall decree and declare and things shall happen. It doesn't sound like this. It is actually including endurance, pain and suffering. Come on. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time just talking about this. What is the passage then saying from those things that I've just itemized? Number one is believers. Oh, everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere you are. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in this race. That's the first thing. You are running. You are in a race. Number two, the race is real. And something you don't want to hear, it is fierce. It is fierce. If you have to sit down and think about it, this race is fierce. For those that really, really, really are committed and focused. You know, one of the things I have learned in life is that actually, the enemy is not scared about those people that have not radically changed. And he has no worry about them. What are they for? And so, I'm a believer in Jesus, and you go wherever the wind goes. And so if it is jam, you go jamming a little bit, and you do a few things here and there, and you don't want to go deeper. So you want to swim in the shallow waters, and the Lord Jesus Christ looks at you and says, I don't use this kind of guys. And the enemy comes around and says, no, we don't bump into these kind of guys. He goes and hits those guys that are like, these guys, they are preaching the gospel. They are praising the Lord. They are doing everything. And that is why sometimes the faithful ones look like they are victims. They are not victims. It's because the enemy knows, if I allow this guy to live longer, if we don't give him pressure, he's going to turn the whole world to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take Charlie Kurt away. 22 years old boy. Huh? No. The boy who killed him is 22. But the young man is 31. Just like my son. I mean, he's like my son. I mean, I've lived 52 years to 53. He's my son. What a young life. But the other thing that we see here, which I want to encourage you, is that we have people who encourage and cheer for us. So when we are running, yes, this is a fierce game, fierce race. Don't worry. Don't listen to these things that are going. We have people that can encourage us. And some of the encouragement we get from the people of faith that are written in Scripture. Others, we can look around and look. That's why we have leaders. We have the brothers and sisters in faith in the community of believers. It's very important. You know, you are struggling with something. Look at how somebody has made it to there. My sister, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with that, or I'm struggling with this. How do you manage? For young people, how do you manage singlehood without it? You know what I'm talking about. How do you manage to live and be able to work and have, you know, bring food on your table without a paper? University degree, how do you manage? And you're still faithful to God. And then he'll tell you, yes, I know. You know what I do? I wake up in the morning, give my prayer to the Lord, and agree and accept that this is where I am, physically, socially. I didn't have the privilege to go to school. And this is where I've ended. So what I do is, God has blessed me with a lot of energy. And I'm not crowded with a lot of responsibilities. So I wake up in the morning and singing, the Lord is good. And I go and find a job as a gardener. Or maybe I go into the field and I dig. And I'm content. I come back. I have food. And I sleep in the night. I'm worried about nothing. Because I've got no wealth. I've got nothing to worry about what is going to be stolen while I want to sleep in the house. You can find out. But the other thing is, the race does not end until at a point of death. Bah! That's when the race has ended. For as long as you are alive, it will continue. What are the implications, quickly? The implications, if we're talking about this is a race, the implications are that all Christians experience the feelings and emotions of the people who race. So you can't go, no, I'm on the race and you are running out from the experiences. No. You know some of the emotions these guys go on? There are many. There's despair. No, when you are running, it's like, maybe I'm not going to reach. You know, sometimes they feel tired. And I remember my early days and I put on a big shoe and I started running. This was a 21-kilometer run. And at 7, I think it must have been 7. So we're talking about a third of it. I already had blisters under my feet. Until later on, I was advised with the kind of shoes you have to put on. And especially that place was sandy. So sometimes you get tired. There's weakness, there's fainting, there's pain, there's hunger, there's loneliness. All these things are going to happen on this race. And so don't be surprised. Sometimes you are lonely. Sometimes you have no friends in a certain context. It's not always that you are wrong. It's because of what you believe in. It's because of the discipline that you have applied to this race. Because in this race, there are disciplines. Unfortunately, we are in a generation and a time when men and women don't want discipline. They don't want order. They want to do things as and when they feel. No, God is a God of order. He's a God of discipline. He wants you to be focused. He wants certain things to be done in a certain way. And some of us are allergic to discipline. We are allergic to order. May the Lord help us. So these are some of the things that they go through. But others have experienced this before us. Remember that. And they survived. And they are waiting for the prize. You can make it. You can make it. But also some of the emotions that these guys go through that are on the races. There is also joy in the race. You know? You can ask those people that have been racing. And today, like John, there's some kind of joy when you are running, isn't it, man? And that's why you wake up in the morning and go for training. There's joy. There's actually some love and courage. There's a sense of fulfillment. But I ask myself, what sense of fulfillment is in training and boxing and hitting your friend and all that? But anyway, this course is a good one. I mean, so there's a sense of, you know, feeling fulfilled. There's also a time when you feel the passion when you're running. You know, as you're running, there are those water points. And Mr. Green has done those things when he's doing the elephants, whatever. He knows it. And so they, as they are supporting these guys, they put water there and they are running. And so this guy comes and gives them water and all that. There are those points. Huh? And it's like re-energizing you. In your race, all these things are there. The Lord put them there. There are water points. There are places where you need to change your shoes. There are places where you need just to be encouraged and say, okay, you are remaining with 25 kilometers. Now you can change the way you race. You need coaches. And so these things, there's zeal, there's power, there's fulfillment. However, with this race, there's no resting until death. You will not rest until death. Even when you are on your bedside, you still hear people say bad things about you. You are almost breathing the last. You still hear people saying bad things about you. Sleep well, my brother. Don't worry about what they are saying. The Lord is with you. You have finished. You are at the end. The angels are waiting for you. 2 Timothy explains to us something. You know, he is writing to young Timothy and saying, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." He's about to die. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." And the guy says, "It's fine." These are men. I mean, sometimes they take time. Things are difficult. Let's think about these men. These are men who, when they felt discouraged, when people came, when the enemies came and surrounded them, they still looked at them and said, "You can put me anywhere. Oh, we are going to throw you in the dungeon and see if you are going to preach. I'll preach in the dungeon. No, we'll put you in prison." Until the enemy was so confused because he didn't know where to put them. On the ocean, they preached. In the jungles, they preached and healed the people. They shook the snakes. Okay, let's. What do we do? Flog them, they praise the Lord. Okay, let us release Paul. I think this is too much. Let's put him there and give him everything. He goes and preaches the gospel. Men, we need women and men like that. Not men and women who are easily angered and disappointed and discouraged by everything. Any simple thing. I think the kingdom of God on this race, we don't need sensitive people. We need thick-skinned people. People that know what they are called to. And there are men that and women that are easy to serve the Lord with. They make things easy. Have you ever been a coach? Training somebody? Especially to swim. You tell them how they should lie this way, they are turning the other way around. "Hey, you were, do this." They're going. What should be done according to this passage? As explained in the text. What should we do then as we are running this race? Because we want to go. We want to move. So, the first thing that we look at is be careful as you run. And you might ask, how can I be careful? Don't pay attention to worldly things. Are you hearing? This is the practical aspect of it. Be careful. How can you be careful? Don't pay attention to worldly things. Don't overindulge or be carried away or be preoccupied by the things of this world. And everything that comes on you, you jump on. You neglect the gathering of the believers. Every time you are there, you are there. You are missing out on certain tips on how you are supposed to run on the race. Your option is to make it easy. Sometimes, accept the inconvenience of coming together like now, so that you get the tips. Sometimes, in fact, always, allow to be inconvenienced in order to be found in the community group so that you can get these tips. And sometimes allow to be inconvenienced for the sake of the kingdom. Look like a fool, but you know whom you save. Stick to the rules. What are these rules? You know, it's basically a way of life. As believers, the scriptures are clear on how we must conduct ourselves as believers. And some people don't want rules. No, now these things are not there for us to be saved. Like they are the ones. And we don't do them for salvation. Because salvation is it's a gift from God to those who believe in Him. It's by faith. But we need these rules to keep order in the house. You're getting the point? You need them. Rules of how you should live. And it's very clear. Paul is writing to Timothy again, and he says in chapter 2, verse 3, he says, join with me in suffering. Why? And these guys, filled with the Holy Spirit, join with me in suffering. Like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. And so he's likening the Christian life to a soldier. Ordinarily, soldiers are supposed to be in the camp. But of course, they mingle around to provide when they are coming to provide security. You are not meant to stay in the club. There are certain places where you're not supposed to stay and make a home and be comfortable in. You just visit there when you have a mission. The soldiers, when you see the soldiers in the market, they are there for a mission. Even the policemen. When they are there, they are there for a mission to bring order and to bring to book those who promote disorderliness. And for us, our mission is to go there and hook out the victim of this world. Men that and women that have been held captive by the God of this world. The God. And so he says, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. I will not dive into that. I think that is for us in the community groups. But the other thing that we see here is drop off things that hinder and sins that entangle you. Entangling, you know what is entangling? You know when you get into those things, there are issues. There are issues, you know. There are people who have problems. You don't even know where to start from to solve them. And you sit down, they tell you this story. They tell you this story, how this happened this way and that one, you are there. How do we even solve this problem? That's what it refers to here. Drop off things that hinder and easily entangle. When you are entangled, I don't have a picture to show entanglement. But when you are entangled, you know when you get cotton, you unroll a big one. Then you just bring it together. And then the way it gets mixed. And then you are given, can you make it straight? And these entanglements could be categorized in a few. Physical, examples of physical things that can tire us and affect our relationship with God. Physical things, and sometimes they could be fashion, movies, gossip, entertainment, women or men, wealth, fame, comfort, even politics, human rights, activism. And we get into these things. Some of these things will entangle and confuse your mind. You stop thinking straight. Emotional things that can actually, you need to put off. There are certain things. And these, some of these things can affect you emotionally, and they eventually affect your journey. Past hurt, unforgiveness, worry, fear, and many other emotional burdens that people carry. Your aunt died 15 years ago. Why are you still complaining about her? She's gone. No, my aunt. 15 years, you cannot come over it, sure. Is she the one who is still causing you to make those wrong decisions? 15 years later, you are 35. And you're still blaming your aunt who died for the wrong decisions you are making now. Get over it in the name of Jesus. Be responsible. Take responsibility for your own decisions. Now, forget about when you were young. Now, make the right decisions. There are other things that you need to put off. And these are spiritual things like beliefs, wrong doctrines, and religious practices that they are weird. These things entangle many of us. And that's why it's very important. Know your word. Know what is written. Understand what we believe in. Search scriptures. So that you are not everywhere, here and there, getting knowledge there and there. Some of these wells are dirty. You drink from there for the rest of your life. You'll be regretting, I wish I never went there. You lose your child, you lose your relationship for wrong things. So be careful with some of these things. Some of these doctrines, you don't even need to embrace them. Shut your ears from them. No, you can create things. You can just speak them. You are the head and whatever. No suffering for believers, and then one day you suffer. No, it's okay. You know, I can just be a believer and be at home and watch on TV. I can still be a Christian. You know those things, eh? I can still be a Christian. And so all you do is when you are free at your own time, no inconvenience, you just switch on the TV. You are watching the popular preachers. And after you have done, you switch on, you go and eat and eat and eat. And you say, I'm a believer. Where are you going to practice your faith? What kind of a soldier are you? Endure hardship. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of our faith.
Amen.
As we are running on this race, let's endure to the end. Because we know the one in whom we have put our love and our trust is faithful. He is good and he gives us strength. He cares for us beyond our imagination. He is prepared a place for us, all of us. It may not be all well here on earth, but we have a place which is revealed to us in Revelation chapter 21, that one day a new Jerusalem will come. And in that place, God will be our Father. He will wipe our tears. And in that place, there will be no mourning. There will be no tears. There will be no suffering. There will be no loss. And we shall be basking in the presence of the Holy One. And look at him and be focused on him. And when you are hearing all this noise and all that, put on a thick skin of the Holy Spirit and keep on throwing away all these things that disrupt you. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall be well with you. I've mentioned a number of things, and I don't know where you are at in this journey. But you know yourself. I don't know you. The Spirit has spoken to you. I want to tell you that as you are moving, and yes, there will be times when you are tired. There's a water point. There will be times that certain times because of mistakes, you haven't just done well. Maybe you didn't hear the instructions well, and you bump into something, and you fall, and you injure yourself. There's Red Cross on the road. There are men and women that you can go to and say, I've been injured, I'm broken. I've been lied to. I have been forsaken. I feel lonely. And they will tell you, come, there's the fellowship here. No, I have messed up. Yeah, even in that place, don't worry. In this race, we are not competing against anyone. The goal is to reach the end. And you might feel delayed because of anything. Don't worry about the past. Rise up. Get bandaged and continue with your race. When you arrive there, Jesus Christ will reward you and look at you as if you are the only one in the race. How beautiful it is. And you know where you are. And some of us are like, oh, Jesus, I have given up. I'm fainting. The Lord is saying today, come. Some of us are already entangled and we don't know how to disentangle ourselves. The Lord is saying, today, make a decision. Just look at me and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender. Here I am.